All right, we're going to start recording. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We're still learning about the names of Allah. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك والعالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم. We have two worlds. We have two worlds. The first world is called the world of seen and the world of unseen. Okay? Seen and unseen. The world of unseen, could be something, could be absent. You don't know it because you were absent, or you don't know it because it is it has to do with Allah and his angels, right? So we have two worlds. What are they? The seen world and the unseen world. Okay? The seen world, the things that you can see yourself. And the unseen world, we have the absent world. Like, the absent world are the things that you are not there. Still unknown to you. And then we have the second one. So the seen world, the unseen world. Okay, the unseen world is branching to. You can't see it because it's absent. You can't see it because it's Allah and His angels. Okay? You got that? Okay. Now Allah knows all of that. Allah knows all of that. Allah in the Quran says that if it is an atom weight, if it is an atom weight of something, He knows where did it come from, where is it going. Also, he said in the Quran that if there is a dark forest, dark what? Forest. That has a leaf, that has a tree. Okay? There are millions of trees. One of them has leaves falling down. He knows each leaf falling from what tree, at what time, and where is it going. Can you say that? So Allah knows what tree, that this leaf fell from what tree, this leaf fell from what tree, at what time, and it is going where, and is going where, and what is going to happen to it. You understand that? He said in the Quran, if there is a leaf, he knows everything, the details about the leaf. Now, how about an atom weight? Allah says that if you hide an atom weight in the entire universe, like little thing, like ants. Yeah. In Arabic, atom means, does not mean nucleus. It means ants, the small ants, the very, very tiny ants. So Allah is saying, if there is a very tiny ant hidden anywhere in heavens and earth, anywhere in the universe, Allah will get it what? Like this. Allah will get it like this. You got it? You got it? So Allah knows when the leaf falls. If you hide an atom in the entire universe, somewhere in the universe, Allah will bring it out. Now let me ask you a question. Why does Allah bothers himself? Actually not bothers himself. Why would Allah care about knowing these details? Why? I mean, why does he need to know that there is a leaf falling from what tree, at what time, and where is it going? Huh? Yes, because he's all knowing. But why would he care about it?
Because
he's the one that makes it happen, and he knows what he's doing, right? Yeah. Can you say that Allah doesn't know what he's doing?
No.
No, that's bad, right? So he made it happen. He made it what, Hamza? He made it happen. So he has to know about it because he's the one who made it happen, and he knows what he's doing. So he's saying, Allah cares about knowing these details because He is the one who makes it happen. And He knows and he knows what he's doing. Great. You got that part? Okay. So now you can say a question. So if you do something secretly, it falls under what? If you do something secretly, does it fall under seen or unseen? Unseen, secretly. Nobody's seeing you except Allah. Okay? Except Allah. Okay. Now, which one of the unseen? One, because you're absent, or because it's the word of Allah. The word of Allah and the angels. Because it's the word of Allah and the angels. It's absent because it is unseen because you're absent, right? If something happening, you're absent, you don't know it. It becomes unseen to you, right? Okay, now you tell me something. Why would Allah hide himself and his angels in such a way? There is a guy who says, if there is a God up there, let him scratch my back. A guy was saying that. He's an atheist. He doesn't believe in any God. So he said, if there's a God up there, let him scratch my back. He says, we don't believe in something that we can't see. We don't believe in an unseen God. Now, why would Allah make himself unseen and his angels unseen? Okay? And so many people get confused about that. So many people deny him because he's an unseen. Deny his existence and deny the existence of his and deny the existence of his angels because they are what? Because they are what? Unseen. Can you think of something that makes Allah and wisdom for Allah, for which Allah made himself and his angels unseen and hellfire and Jannah unseen? Can you think of anything? Like, let me go ahead. Takbir, so that we can stay, we can have free choice. Now, if Allah, if you can see Allah and his angels, would you have a free choice then? No. You will be impressed in such a way that you will never do something wrong. You got that? So I bet you, if you hear right now the scream of somebody being punished in the grave, like right now, just hearing that scream, not actually seeing Allah and his message, just hearing a scream of a dead person who's being punished in the grave, you know what is going to happen to you? You hear, you say, Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. It will scare you to a level that you don't have a free choice anymore. You got it? In order to have a free choice, okay, Allah had to hide himself and his angels from you. Now, can you disobey Allah when you can see him? I challenge you, you can't. Why? Because, let me give you an example. If you're driving your car and there is a police officer driving behind you, would you dare to speed?
No.
Would you dare to run a red light?
No, because you're on the train.
No, you have a choice, but you're scared from what? From the police officer, right? Now imagine he is Allah, and you can see him, like you're seeing the police officer. Would you dare to disobey him? No. And this is why there would be... Alaykum as-salam. The drill now?
This is the information for the drill.
Okay.
It'll happen in a few minutes.
So, yeah, okay. You got that? So, would you be able to disobey Allah if you can see him? No. Would Allah allow you to disobey him when you can see him? No. So here, write down that the wisdoms for which Allah is hiding the unseen, his world, the unseen world from us, the unseen world, which is the word of Allah, is because if we can see Allah, we would be too scared to disobey him. And give an example of the police that drives behind you. So, the police behind you will compel you to be good, to always do good, right? Mm-hmm. And to drive really nice. Think about it, if Allah is looking at you, or not Allah is looking at you, if you're looking at Allah, if you're looking at Allah, you will never, ever, ever be able to disobey Him. It's not possible. So just imagine for a police officer and you behaved so well, just imagine. You're seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in order to have a free choice, Allah had to hide Himself and His angels from us. Now, do you know that if you can hear just the scream of the people in the grave, okay, your hand would shake. Let's say you're drinking wine, for example. Once you hear the people who are screaming in the grave, then your hand is going to shake and you're going to throw the wine and start praying. Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. And you're so scared. We got it? So that is a wisdom for which Allah is hiding us, so that we can have free choice. So we can get our chance of having free choice. Seeing Allah and His angels will happen when your soul is freed from your body. You know that your soul now is attached to your body, right? And it can't go far away. When you die, your soul is not going to be attached to your body anymore. And it will go into the world of the unseen. You got that? You understand? Think of the dream. When your soul leaves your body, you see dreams that don't exist. You know when the baby is inside his mother's womb? He thinks that the universe is what? He thinks that the universe is this what? Womb, right? That's the universe to the baby. It's just his mother's womb, right? When he's born, then he sees a big, huge universe, right? Same thing happens. When you die, it's like you're born to the next life. When you die, it's like you what? Born to the next life. You will see things which is way much more than what you're seeing now. Just like the baby, when he's born, he sees a big, huge universe compared to the small, tight womb. Okay? Now, when you die, you see a whole lot more than you're seeing now. The ratio would be like the mother of the wombs to the entire universe. So you would see dimensions that you have never seen before. You see dimensions that you have never, ever seen before. And you would see things that you have never, ever seen before. Did I ever explain to you the story of Gilbert, who is living in a 2D?
Oh, yeah.
Did I explain it to this class or before?
Yeah,
it was third B. Yes, third B. Now, there is a concept about that shows you how. How is it true that you cannot imagine things, but they exist? Of course, microwaves for cell phone. Microwaves for cell phone. They exist, but can you see them? Can you see them?
Uh-uh.
You can't see them. Do they exist?
Yeah.
Yeah. They exist, but you can't see them. So, and because they are waves. And think of angels like made of waves of light, so you can't see them. But let me also give you another example that you can imagine things through. Let's say there is a guy whose name is Gilbert. Or let's say with the guy, his name is Irfan. And this Irfan lives in 2D. So Irfan... Talking. Irfan lives in what? 2D. So he can move two dimensions. He can move only in the board. Can he move out of the board?
No.
And
where are his arms from his face?
Let's make it better.
Can I go first?
Yeah.
Hold on, they are going to come and talk to me. Okay, this guy, Irfan, he can only move in the plane. And he cannot move out of the plane. And he doesn't even know that there existing a new plane, a new like universe. So the third dimension is not visible to him. And he will never imagine the third dimension. So he can't imagine that there is space. Okay. He only imagined that there is a plane, which is the plane of the board. That's where he lives. You got that part? Okay. Now his room is made of what? His room is made of a rectangle, right? And the door is made of what?
Rectangle.
Right. Yes. You know, straight line, right? And the hinge is a circle. So now FN goes inside his home. Okay. Here we go. Arfan goes inside the other hole. Now, hold on. If you put your finger like this, Arfan is going to see what? The whole finger?
No, only the top.
Only the thumbprint, right? So we'll only see the thumbprint. You agree with me?
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys agree with me, girls, over there?
Yep.
No, why would he only be able to see the thumbprint? For what reason, girls? For what reason?
It's only two dimensions.
Because it's only two dimensions. So now when I put my finger like this, he sees my fingerprints. He says, oh my God, a ghost. Why? Because the door is what? Closed, right? The door is closed. And when I put my finger, he sees my thumbprint. So he says, oh, ghost, ghost, ghost. You got it? Why is he saying that ghost to ghost to ghost?
He sees a thumbprint.
Because the door is closed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I take my thumb out, if I take my finger out, Erfan, then what happens? The thumbprint will disappear, right? Then this guy is going to say, oh my God, Erfan is going to say, oh my God, the ghost disappeared. Do you see Erfan? Yes. Can Erfan see you?
No.
No. Can you get Erfan? Yes. Can you get Erfan from anywhere? Yes. You can just land on Erfan and get him. Okay? You see? Why am I giving you this example? Because there are more dimensions. We have more dimensions than X, Y, and Z. We have more dimensions than the width, the length, and the height. We have more than that. What are these dimensions? This is, inshallah, when you're attached now, physically, your soul is attached to your body, and your body is limited by 3D, three dimensions. When, inshallah, people die, when you die, your soul will be released, and your soul is going to be able to see a whole lot more than that. Can you explain that to me?
Like 4D?
Yeah, 4D, 5D, 6D, 7D, 8D.
90.
No. Now let me tell you something. Do we see the atoms with respect to us? Are they small?
Yeah.
Eh?
Yeah.
How? What's the ratio of our size to the size of the atom?
Like 100.
Billions, right?
Yeah.
Now the people in the second heaven, we live in the first heaven, which has what? Three dimensions only. So the people of the second heaven, they see us, the people of the first heaven, like an atom. Atom in a universe, like an atom in a universe. The people of the fourth heaven see the people of the third heaven like an atom in a universe, right? Because this guy can only see this plane, right? But when this guy is die, he will be able to see all planes. We're going to be able to see a space, a big, huge space he never knew about. This is exactly what will happen to you. In your mother's womb, you said, okay, this tight womb is my universe. You get born, you say, oh, the huge universe. The ratio between them is like the ratio when you die. When you die, what you see relative to what you're seeing right now is going to be like the baby seeing relative to the universe. You understand? You got that? Can you say it yourself? Let's speak your fan. Can you repeat what I said? That's right, mashallah. You can imagine now. Allah, the world of the unseen, to us is like out of the dimensions, out of the 3D. Now, sometimes in the movies, they add 4D, which is the wind and these things. And you can smell the food and you get splashed with water. That is 4D. And then 5D, they also... what is it, 5D? We know 4D. What's it, 5D? Oh, 4D, I think they shake the seat so you feel like you're being in the movie. And 5D, they put water, spray water, and smells on you. So you just feel like you are in the same place. Okay, these are not 4D or 5D. This is kidding. Okay, that's not the 4D we're talking about. We're talking about the 4D like Gilbert here, or like Irfan here. So Irfan. Now, what are the other wisdoms for which Allah, let's say, not hide himself? We understand. What are the other wisdom? Or there's another wisdom also. What happened to... What happened to Prophet Musa when he asked to see Allah? Who knows?
Huh?
Who knows, Taha? What happened to Prophet Musa when he asked to see Allah? So, what happened to Prophet Musa when he asked to see Allah? Asked Allah to see him. He is asked Allah to see him. What happened? Zainab. No, just Musa by himself.
Oh, just Musa?
Oh, yeah, actually, yes. Part of these 70, 40 people. But he asked to see Allah. What happened?
So, lightning and the mountains crumbled. They shook and then it broke into half.
Yes. What happened? Allah told him. Musa, look at this mountain. If the mountain will stand seeing me, then you will be able to stand seeing me. Allah said, you cannot stand seeing me. It's not going to be possible for you to be able to stand that much. Okay? So he said, look at the mountain there. The mountain was huge, humongous mountain. Humongous, big, huge mountain. Allah said, look at this mountain. So Allah showed himself to the mountain. What happened to the mountain? The mountain crushed into dust in a fraction of a second. Boom. And there's like no mountain anymore. What happened to Prophet Musa? It's like he was electrocuted and then he passed out. So when he woke up, he said, Ya Allah, forgive me for making such an ignorant request. A prophet should have known better than that, right? So if I requested that, maybe I'm an ignorant guy. But when the prophet requests that, then Allah will teach the prophet a lesson that you should not be asking for things like this. Then Allah told him, you know the reason he asked to see him? Because he can talk to him. Got it? He said, if I can talk to you, Ya Allah, then let me see you. Okay, so the physical existence. Then when he woke up, he said, Ya Allah, forgive me. Allah said, Ya Musa, I have given you so many favors nobody ever got, even a prophet. He's the only prophet, the only one in this universe, from the only human being that was able to talk to Allah. Allah talked to him. So Allah gave him special of being him, making him able to talk to him. Allah gave him a special of giving him the Torah. Allah made him special by giving him the revelation. So Allah said, do not. Did you write about the mountains? And then Prophet Musa saying, Allah forgive me for making ignorant requests. So he said, I'm giving you a lot. Like talking to me and the revelations. So take whatever I gave to you and be thankful. Okay? No, not now. Until they come, we leave. Now, they come get me from the classroom here.
They come and get us? How come there's no fire alarm?
Now, we are done with Allah. So nobody can ask Allah to see him, right? Because we physically can't. How about the angels? We can see the angels.
Yeah.
Prophets can see the angels and talk to them. Oh. And also we can see the angels. The angels downcast themselves into human form. So just like, think of yourself, Irfan, downcasting yourself into this guy. So you have 3D, but somehow you can squeeze yourself into this guy. Angels can do that, can squeeze themselves to come into our world, the physical world, the 3D. Or you know what, Irfan, you can do? You can somehow make this as like your body print, like a thumbprint. But you live in 3D, but you're moving into the 2D where Irfan can see you. You got it? So, either way, angels take a form. Allah has said in the Quran, angels so many times have taken a form of humans and come down. Now, jinn can also take the form of humans or animals. But there's a rule for jinn. Allah says that for jinn, if you downcast yourself to a form of a human or a form of an animal, whatever laws of nature apply to this animal will apply to you. You got that? You got that part? So Allah is saying, if you downcast yourself to... You're done with that? So here you say, if you downcast yourself, if jinn downcast themselves into an animal or a human, they will be controlled by the laws of nature that controls animals and humans. Got it? So basically, if the jinn downcasted himself into a cat, if you kill the cat, the jinn will die. Why? Because Allah will make the laws of nature apply to the cow, applies to the what? Jinn. Huh?
What if an angel...
Just a second. Not for angels. I'm talking about jinn. If jinn downcasts himself... If he downcasted himself to a cat, then whatever laws of nature applies to the cat will apply to him. In other words, if he downcasted himself to a cat, can he fly?
No.
No. If he downcasted himself to the bird, can he fly?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You got it? So whatever laws of nature, Allah, the reason Allah made it that way, so that we don't get a jinn downcasting himself into a cat and then flying. Because that will drive us crazy. That would drive us crazy if this happens. A jinn downcasting himself to a cat and then flying. So Allah, to protect us, Allah said, you downcast yourself, you'd be controlled by the laws of nature. So if you shot this bird, which is the jinn dies. That, you keep that in mind. So now this is a way for us to see the world of the unseen, that are the other dimensions that we live in. Now, how about why didn't we see miracles and see the people who are just being punished in the grave? If we hear them, in addition to losing our free will, what else? Allah will hold us accountable to higher standards. Allah will hold us accountable to higher standards. Do you know they say the benefit of the doubt? You know the word expression, benefit of the doubt? What does it mean, benefit of the doubt? Taha. I give you the benefit of the doubt. Means what? Uh-huh.
A person can... I mean, if there's a court case and somebody was convicted as guilty but there's no evidence, then the judge can give the benefit of the doubt. Meaning that since there's nothing...
There's no evidence
right.
to make the person guilty, the judge can say that he's doubting himself whether the person is guilty
yes.
or not. So he's giving the person the right to still live.
Exactly. So basically it is forgiving a person because we're not sure. Okay? Because we're not sure. So this is giving you the benefit of the doubt. You got that? So we, because we don't see angels and we don't see Allah, we're getting the benefit of the what?
Doubt.
Okay? So Allah does not hold us accountable to high standards. Why? Because He wants to give us the benefit of the doubt. Is that something good or something bad? Huh?
Good.
Zainab Ahmed, is it something good or bad? Good. So, would you choose? So there are two choices. Either you see the miracles and you see Allah and you lose the benefit of the doubt, or you keep the way you are and enjoy the benefit of the doubts. Huh? Which one do you pick? Okay, there were people called the people of the dining table. The people of the dining table. What happened to those people of the dining table is the following. They said to Prophet Isa, we want to see a miracle. Ask Allah to send us a table from heaven. And this table becomes like, eat all what you can eat. Like, eat until you're full. You know, you don't have to, there's nobody telling you how much you can eat and all of that. So, when they ask that, guess what Prophet Isa said? Do you know what he would say? He said, fear Allah, you don't know what you're asking for. Because once they see the miracle, now they lose the benefit of the doubt, and then now they are held accountable to higher standards. So, we say here, we can see Allah and His angels to enjoy the benefit of the doubt. if we can see miracles, then we lose the benefit of the doubt and we're held to accountable to higher standards. No. They have to get me from here. They have to have a person coming to my class and getting me. Okay? Okay, now they said don't leave until they get somebody, which is you.
So please ask them to back up, out the corridor, to the parking lot.
By the blue turn. Okay. All right. Hold on. This is what will happen. You guys are going to assemble in the parking lot next to the playground. And I will check your numbers over there.